We're thinking about serving today. As Pastor Trish mentioned a few minutes ago, we have a number of projects going on. Many people went out to do projects yesterday of various kinds, and we have more activities. If you've not participated in one of the projects, we'll still have some things going on after church today. Especially, we'll be preparing the meals for Stop Hunger Now down in Asbury Hall. That's a huge project. We'll literally package thousands of meals today. And if you'd like to help out with that, as soon as we're done here in worship, you can just scoot on down to Asbury and participate in that, or other projects that we have going on this afternoon as well, other things happening. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 14, is our word today from the Lord. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. Hear this word. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers in it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. When I got out of school and had a regular paycheck, the first new car I purchased was a real hot rod racer. It was a 1982 Toyota Tercel. 90 horsepower of sheer muscle car. My second church, and had the car 4 or 5 years probably. We lived out in the country, and it was dark out there at night. And one night I was driving home from the church, and maybe 3 or 4 blocks from our house, we lived on a dirt road, the car died. I mean, it literally died. It literally stopped. Everything went out at one time. I kind of got it over to the side and parked it and locked it and walked the rest of the way home in the dark. There was a guy in the church who was a pretty good shade tree mechanic, and he was a shift worker. The next morning, I called him, just so happened, caught him on one of the days when he was not on shift work, and he had some time, so he was very kind to help me take a look at the car. Well, we got down and literally half disassembled the engine to get at this rubber belt, which is called a timing belt, and the timing belt had popped. And back in those days, for a Toyota Tercel, a new timing belt cost the royal sum of $10. This $10 rubber belt is what had totally made the engine quit, which is pretty amazing if you think about the whole thing, all that motor going on this little $10 rubber belt. But that's the way it was. And you have to realize that sometimes you can't go on appearances of things, because who would have thought that $10 belt would have been such a vital part of the car? Now, if you look at the car, the hood of the car, it looks a lot more impressive than that little belt, you know what I mean? But if you could pull the hood off your car, it would really show. You know, you take the hood off your car, but the reality is, unless you were going through a driving rainstorm, if you didn't have the hood on your car, it would look terrible, but the car would still drive fine. So you can't always judge things and their importance by how they look on the surface. And along those lines, Paul is trying to make that point. In this passage, he draws an analogy between the human body and the church, or the body of Christ, where he talks about you can't always judge things on their appearances, because everyone is a part of the body of Christ, the church, and every part in the body of Christ has value. And the big takeaway, I think, that we need to receive from this scripture is that every one of us has a place. Every one of us has importance, and none of us should think that what we can do in the church, in the body of Christ, is not essential. I think if we can keep this understanding in mind, it helps us to correct one of the major defects that people have when they tend to look at the church. It's tempting when people look at the church to think it's just this organization over here that's run by those people, you know, and the purpose of those people is to meet my needs, whatever my needs happen to be. And the reality is, I think we all get trapped in that thinking from time to time, but that view of the church is nowhere to be found in the New Testament. And in fact, if we look at the New Testament and this passage, we see that it's more true. The New Testament view of the church is that the church is kind of a living organism, a living organism. And our purpose here on earth is not only to gather and worship the Lord, but also to give glory and honor Christ and to serve Christ in the world. We exist as the church to be the primary agent of Christ, the hands and feet, as the choir sang about just a moment ago, the hands and feet of Christ, the living feet of Christ upon the earth. So if we capture that thought, what are the implications of that particular understanding? Well, one is, I think, that as we go through life, I really believe it's possible to see God at work in the world. Here and there, we see the power of the Spirit manifest itself. We see God at work in events and circumstances and through people in the world today. But we also can't lose sight of the fact that the church was put upon this earth by our Lord Jesus Christ to be His hands and feet. The church is the primary agent of Christ upon the earth. Week in and week out, the church is the main agent of Christ upon this earth. And every single one of us, as Paul said in the scripture, are part of the body of Christ. We are all essential components. Now, in capturing those thoughts, what I'd like you to remember is a couple of critical ideas today. And the first one is this: because we are essential parts of the body, Christ is counting on us. Christ is counting on us. We are all essential. As Paul said a moment ago, as we read, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. The reality is, if any of us decide we're not a part of the body, we're detached from the body, and we're just going to lay in the weeds, yeah, life will go on without us. It will go on without us, but the body of Christ will not be operating at peak efficiency. And I think that's a very critical idea. As long as we're talking about old car horror stories, I talked about my second car. My first car was a 1967 Ford Galaxy 500, 2 tons of heavy metal. And when I had that car, I bought it when I graduated from high school. I drove it through college and drove it through seminary. It was the best. You talk about value. I bought this car when I was 18 years old for $800. I drove it 9 years and put 140,000 miles on it and sold it for $500. Now, that was a good deal. It's a good deal. Not counting the couple of thousand bucks of repairs, but I won't go into that. So our family lived in Port Arthur when I started school at SMU, and it was about 300 miles and at least 6 hours, because a lot of it was two-lane road back then, and so it was a long trip home. On one of the first trips home, I'm going back to school, and the car, almost as soon as I hit the highway, the car started running terribly. It was knocking, it was pinging, it had no power, it was barely running, and I thought the car's falling apart. The thing has finally given up the ghost. It's history, it's toast, it's a goner. And I nursed and babied that thing all the way up to the campus at SMU and found a parking place and thanked God that I had made it in one piece. And I just knew that I was going to have to either spend all of my life savings and probably borrow money to go to school to repair that car, or to get rid of it and buy another car. And I just knew that was it. And I thought, maybe you should open the hood and look. So I got out of the car and I opened the hood. As soon as I opened the hood, I saw one of the spark plug wires just dangling in the wind. And if you've never had that experience, if you've got a car without a spark plug wire connected, it won't run very well. I plugged it back onto the wire, and voila, the car ran like a dream. Of course, I could have done this in Beaumont, 280 miles back down the road, but no, I had to go all the way to Dallas on that bum car. But the point and the moral to this story is this: is it possible that you are the detached wire in the body of Christ? Yeah, we can still run without you plugged in, but we won't run as well as if you were plugged in. When I was a senior in high school, just before I bought that car, the last few months of my senior year, I'd gotten to where the youth group, the Sunday night youth group, MYF, it was boring, you know what I mean? And too many freshmen and sophomores, just had to suffer that, it wasn't good. And so I decided, my last few months, why should I go? I'm not getting much out of it, so I'm just going to check out. In the last few months of my senior year, I quit going to youth group. Well, there was this little minor issue going. I was the president of the youth group. And, at the time, it didn't seem like any kind of big thing, really. I didn't think too much, and really nobody said too much about it. But, I got a little bit older, a few years older, and I thought, you could have hung in there those last few months. It wouldn't have been that big a deal for you. And yeah, maybe you were a goofy 18-year-old, but maybe your presence and your leadership could have made some positive difference to the goofier 15-year-olds in the youth group. You could have done that. And I say that because, isn't it true that all of us make calls like that all the time? We just decide to check in and check out, to do things or not do things, and sometimes we check out for not much reason. And the reality is, the Church of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ and the effectiveness of the church, it can keep going. Things will go. Life will go on without us, but Christ is counting on us. For that reason, we should stay plugged in. That's one observation. The other is this: in terms of serving Christ day by day, are you giving Jesus all you've got? Are you giving what you've got in life? It's certainly true that the magnitude of our efforts are an issue. We all follow our passions in life, don't we? I think it's very easy for us to look and find our priorities in life. Just look at your bank statement every month and look at the five biggest expenses on your bank statement. Not only what they are, but how big they are. You can tell what your priorities are simply by taking a look at that. I'm tempted to say, is God anywhere in that list? That's another sermon. We won't go into it today. But we talk about our financial resources, but what about our time? You can do the same thing with your time. Think about how you spend your time each week. The volume of your time you spend on things, the way you apply your talents. Certainly in terms of the amount of time and energy, that's an issue, but are we also, What are the biggest time-consuming activities that you have in a given week? Is God anywhere in that list? Besides simply the amount of the time, are you also applying the talents that you have, the abilities that the Lord has given to you to be of service to His kingdom? Every one of us has unique gifts. They're not the same. Paul says this in the scripture. We're not all, the body of Christ wasn't designed for everybody to be a hand or a foot or an eye. We're all different parts of the body, but all the parts of the body are essential, and we need to find ways to put our gifts that God has given us to use for the purposes of Christ in the world. As Paul would have said, you may be a hand, or you may be a foot, or an eye, or an ear, or even a big toe, but God has given you that identity, that special purpose to serve Jesus and His church. Are you putting your talents to work? It's such a beautiful thing, but we see, every week people at Lakewood doing such things. It's really a wonderful thing. And you could go on and on. The list is just a mile long of people who are serving Christ with their different talents. We have the finance committee meets every month. It's not the most glamorous thing in the world, you know. I mean, it's not like being a missionary to China or something like that, but the reality is it's a big job to be stewards over the financial resources of the church. And we have people who have a business and finance background who are willing to give their time every month to see that the church is a good steward over the resources that God has given us. We had the kids sing in church today. We have the choir sing once every few weeks. We have our wonderful orchestra play. Now, I've been in choirs before. When I'm in a choir, I'm just one of the croakers in the bass section. That's me. But in our choir and in our orchestra, we have people who are professional musicians who are just part of the gang. You know, we have people who are choir directors, and we have people who are professional instrumentalists who play in our orchestra. And the reality is they just are willing to give what they have to enrich our worship services and to be of service to Jesus Christ. Every day, almost every single day, you can smell aromas coming out of the kitchen. They're good aromas, and they're not bad aromas. And it's just our kitchen is probably the most used room of the church every day. Every day, almost every single day, there's somebody or some group of people down there preparing food for something. Sometimes it's for some mission. Sometimes it's for a group that's going to be meeting up here or some activity that's going on up here. But you stop and think about maybe chopping up food and throwing it in the oven doesn't sound like a big deal, but if it's serving Christ and we're doing it with a loving heart, it is a big deal, and it matters to Jesus. Like I said, the list could go on and on and on. What I simply want you to consider today is this. The gifts in this room, if we were to put them all together, the gifts that are present in this room, the natural abilities that you have, the educational training that you have, just the time that you have on your hands, if we could put them all to use for Christ and do everything we could, this part of Houston would turn 180 degrees in the direction of Jesus. There's no doubt that that would happen. If all of us could pray about giving what we've got to Jesus Christ. When I was younger, for a while, I served as pastor of a church up in East Texas. And one of the things that I would do on a regular basis is go visit some of the shut-ins in the church. We had maybe a dozen homebound members, and so I'd have a little regular schedule where I would check up on them occasionally and go and have a visit. I still can picture one of the older ladies who lived in a little bright yellow house, and this was probably World War I vintage, early 20th century house, and maybe a half a mile off the square. Those towns have squares where the courthouse is, and so once in a while, I would go by to see her, and she was always very kind. She didn't get out because she couldn't drive, and she just got around in her house on a walker. And so I would go and visit her, and of course, you know, when the preacher comes, he has to get a glass of iced tea. That's obligatory in that part of the world. It's not as good as pie, but it's okay. And so I was sitting in her living room there, a little formal living room, hardwood floor, and we were drinking our glass of iced tea together and just chit-chatting, and suddenly she just said something out of the blue. She said, "Joe, I need to find a ride to the nursing home. And I need somebody to give me a ride to the nursing home." And knowing her overall health and situation, I was sure that what she wanted was to take a tour, okay? And because that may be where she was headed next. And I was about to start the conversation going that way when she continued her train of thought. And this is what she said. She said, "You know, I can't do much anymore." But then she said, "But I can still play the piano. If I could get someone to give me a ride to the nursing home, I'll bet the people who live there would enjoy hearing some piano music." She found a ride not long after that, and for some time every week she would go and play the piano in the nursing home. That was her story. So today, what's your story? Lord, help us to think about what we can do. Help us, Lord, to, with the power of your Spirit, to be given inspiration for ways to serve you. We've already heard beautiful stories today, and Lord, there are opportunities even today. But in the days and weeks to come, Lord, there may be something that we could do that we've simply not been applying for your kingdom. But what a beautiful way, Lord, to give honor and glory to you. What a way to impact other lives for your sake. Lord, may we pray about our gifts and how to make them available for the use and the glory of your kingdom. We dedicate this prayer to you in Jesus' name. Amen.